Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the one and only Charlie Brown. And once again, it's time to go around the town with Charlie Brown. I'm just going with a better way of introducing myself to the masses. I need to work on that. However, if you guys follow me on Facebook, you know how to follow me and how to find me because you're already my friend. However, if you're not, please come join me on Facebook at Charlie Brown, Karsten Colbert. Also, if you guys aren't following me over there on the Facebook, maybe you're following me on Instagram. And if you're following me on Instagram, you're following me as Charlie Brown. But it's Charlie Brown with a K. It's K-H-A-R-L-I-E. It makes sense. Just let it be. Also, I hope you guys are also following me on TikTok. Yeah, I've been on TikTok for a little bit now. And if you guys are following me on TikTok, you can follow me at CharlieBrown145. And some of you have already discovered my art, the poetry that I have tried to put out there into the world. If you guys have a copy of that, thank you so much for purchasing that copy. And if you don't have a copy and you're going to get one in the future, I'm going to thank you right now as well, too. Go get your copy of That Was Unexpected by Karsten Colbert. You can go get your copy from Amazon right now. If not, drop me a line somewhere and I'll make sure I'll get you a copy so you guys can experience my art and give me your feedback, please. But today, excuse me, I'm a little bit like congested and stuff, and you know, weather and stuff is broke, and the weather is a little different here where I currently live at. And something else that's kind of different right now as we speak is the climate of things that are currently going on with Marvel. Right now, people keep saying things like Marvel is dead. Then it's the MCU. There's so many people that are saying negative things currently about Marvel, and the direction that they're currently going in does seem like their wheels have been punctured, and somebody need to get a spare to put on there, but all four tires are flat, and they're still trying to truck along. Today I want to talk to you guys, spoiler alert by the way, before I even jump into this, I want to talk to you guys about the movie The Marvels. Now, if you guys aren't up to speed, The Marvels is actually the sequel to Captain Marvel, but they're calling it The Marvels because in this one, there's three Marvels. Technically two, because one of the characters doesn't have a name. They actually mentioned that in the movie. I told you guys, spoiler alert. They actually mentioned the fact that she doesn't have a name, and they were going to give her a name, but they didn't give her a name. But it follows the character Captain Marvel. If you guys remember, at one point she was in the beginning of it, you know, where everything was being set up to fight against the big bad, who so happened to be Thanos at that time, where Thanos was trying his best to get the Infinity Gauntlet and use all the Infinity Stones to do his work. And at that time, his work was to basically snap away half of the universe. But that was his plan, and that's what he wanted to do. And if you guys seen the beautiful work of art that they put together to get to that point where they fought against him in the Infinity War as well as the Endgame with the original Avengers saga, you know, with Captain America, Thor, the Incredible Hulk, Hawkeye, Black Widow, the original, you know, the original Avengers that fought for us and ended up saving our galaxy. Now, Captain Marvel so happened to be a part of that picture as well, too. Now, she ended up getting her second movie in her second movie right now. She's actually sharing that second movie. I have a lot to say about the movie. I know a lot of people have a lot to say about the movie, but we'll just start off with this. Let me tell you a little bit about the movie first before we go down this road. Because this is a broken road. There's cracks in the ground. There are so many cracks in the ground. Okay. First of all, the movie basically takes place where the villain is a villain, I guess. I don't even remember the villain's name, and I don't care to look it up. So, the villain wants to use this band, and the band that she wants to use can tear through time and space, and she wants to use the band to go to other planets to get resources for her world. But in doing so, she ends up tearing this tear in space and time. And when she tears this tear, this hole, Captain Marvel, Miss Marvel, and Monica Rambeau, her character, they end up, every time they use their powers, they swap places, almost like a Freaky Friday type thing. And they keep swapping places every time they use their powers. And they have to stick together and come together and fight against this menace to stop her from taking resources from other planets, as well as stop her from using this gauntlet that is tearing a hole in space and time. Now, that's me explaining the movie to you guys, but watching the movie, there's so many problems. Now let's go down this road with the cracks in it and talk about this. Leading up to this point now, Marvel has put out some duds. Some that people didn't like and a lot of masses didn't like. And I thought that what they were doing was kind of adventurous. And I thought, you know, they're taking chances with some of the stuff. And I don't want every superhero movie to be the exact same thing. Now, but that ended up being one of the problems with some of the shows they were putting out on the Disney Plus. Some of the shows seemed kind of rushed, especially towards the ending, and they were like kind of condensed everything down to like 6 episodes, which I really do not understand why they did that. When they originally came out with the TV shows, I thought they were doing a good job with what they were doing with the WandaVision. Everything with WandaVision, I enjoyed until they got to the end of WandaVision in the last episode, and I was like, it seemed like they kind of rushed this. Then you had Captain America and Falcon and the Winter Soldier. You had Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and again with that, the build up to the last episode was good, and then they just kind of felt like the last episode was just kind of jumbled and rushed. And they just put a bunch of action in the last episode, like, let's throw all this action in there, bro. This is what everybody wants to see. And then, They did a really good job though with the What If series. They did a really good job. I don't think I have anything negative at all to say about the What If series. Then they had Hawkeye. Now Hawkeye so happened to be one of my favorite Marvel characters. He's in my top 10 of my favorite Marvel characters. I love the character Hawkeye. Now I like what they did with the story with Hawkeye, where they were explaining about what he went through, because Hawkeye is a human being. He's not a man in an orange suit. He's not a man who has some type of super soldier serum in him. He's not a man who was born a god. He's not a man that can get angry and become a hawking beast. He's not that. He's a guy who's a great marksman, but he also has great hand-to-hand combat skills. And I thought they did a good job with his show. But again, you got to the last episode. It just kind of threw a bunch of stuff together. I didn't like what they did with Kingpin in that episode. I mean, in that last, how they ended it with Kingpin and stuff to set up the show Echo that was coming up. I didn't really like that. But they did what they did. And at some point, I was telling myself that, you know, you don't really need to watch the Marvel shows to really be invested and to really get you into the movies. But that's not the case. And going into this movie, if you have not seen the show Miss Marvel, you won't really know what's really going on with her backstory, because they don't really touch base on it. And I guide myself down this bumpy road so I can say this. With Miss Marvel, the show, I didn't particularly care for the show, but there were things in the show that I really liked. But that show wasn't made for me, which is good because the MCU is supposed to be this big, you know, layout, this big world. It's supposed to be that, you know. You're supposed to have G-rated shows or movies and stuff, and you're supposed to so that you can have, you know, a larger audience going to see it. PG-13 stuff, you know, rated R stuff. You know, have it set up to where everybody can get some type of enjoyment out of it. And Disney and Marvel can do that. But it seems as though they were only gearing up towards a certain fan base. And I'm not really even sure if that fan base actually exists. But this movie, I think it was supposed to be for women. But the women didn't show up for this movie. It's almost like the WNBA. Like, the WNBA is women playing basketball. I've watched the WNBA and they got a ton of talented players. But women don't watch the WNBA. Men watch it. And I don't even like sports like that. But I'm just giving you an analogy. I'm trying to do the comparison so you can understand what I'm saying. Ms. Marvel, I was going to see it regardless because I am a huge Marvel fan. I'm a comic book fan. And I was going to go and see the movie regardless. And let me try to stay on point here when I say this. If you didn't see the show Ms. Marvel, but then you saw the movie, there's going to be questions you're going to have. And even my son immediately started asking me questions. Well, what's with this artwork? What's going on? What is her powers? What is she doing? And it was so many questions he had. And then even when it got to the point where you talked about Monica Rambeau's character. Monica Rambeau's character, apparently her character got her ability from, if you guys haven't seen it, the show WandaVision. Now, if you haven't seen WandaVision, her character walked through this this hex wall thing. I can't exactly remember how to explain what it is, but she walked through this barrier that was around this town that was put up. It was a hex that was put up around this town by the Scarlet Witch. She walked straight through it, and she ended up getting powers to where she can, like, see light energy, and she can, like, make her body, like ghost, and things can go through her and stuff. She can make her body, ghost. That's the best way to put it. But again, if you haven't seen that show, they kind of just say it, like, oh, how'd you get your powers? And she's like, oh, I walked through this hex thing. Where have you been? And it's like, I don't know about that. Now, don't get me wrong, they have some good action scenes in there where I think are really cool, the action scenes that they have. But it feels like the movie is really short and it's rushed. Like, they're just jumped, they're like, oh, we're here now. And then, so the movie starts and they're like, okay, we're all fighting each other. And while they're all jumping back and forth, whatever, there's this big action sequence. And they're like, all right. So we established that when we use our powers that we teleport. Okay, cool. And then immediately after that, they're like, all right, here's this villain that we have to fight. All right. Now we're in the middle of the movie and it's a musical. All right. Then after that, we're at the end of the movie and we're fighting her. All right. Okay, she's done. And now we're ending. And let's go home, guys. That's pretty much how the movie runs through. Like, it's literally the opening where they're going back and forth. They realize that their powers are intertwined. And then it's meet the villain. Step 3, middle of the movie. Step 4, you're at the end of the movie. That's pretty much it. Like, there's nothing else to it. There's really no development for the characters or anything. I don't know what to say, like, about this movie. Like, I can't say really anything good about it other than the fact that I think the character of Miss Marvel, her character and who the actress is, did an amazing job. I felt like I wanted a second season of Miss Marvel. As a matter of fact, this show should have just been this movie should have just been a show. It should have been season 2 of Miss Marvel. is how I feel. I actually probably would have stuck around and watched that. Now, what I did when I watched Ms. Marvel originally, I watched like the first two episodes. I really didn't care for it. Stopped watching it. It went off and everybody was like, you gotta go back and watch it. So I went back and I binge watched it straight through. And I was like, all right, you know, what else? But going back to the movie, there's a couple things that I feel as though I gotta say about it. The number one thing that really irked me about this movie is the fact that, okay, so Avengers, their name Avengers mean they're avenging something. They're coming in to right a wrong that has happened. They're coming in because somebody did something wrong and now they have to step up and do it. Now, Captain Marvel is supposed to be an Avenger, apparently. I don't know when she really joined up with the team, but whatever. Cause she showed up after Thanos snapped his finger. Then she was at the beginning. Wait a minute. Now that I think about it, she had her movie. She showed up at the beginning of Endgame. Wasn't in nowhere else in Endgame until the very end of Endgame. And then was gone until she popped back up for her own movie. That's pretty much it for her character. But she's supposed to be this strong character. She's supposed to be one of the strongest characters in Marvel. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I never liked Captain Marvel's character. Now, the reason why I wanted to see it because Brie Larson was playing Captain Marvel. And when I saw the movie, I was like, all right, I guess. Like, there's no real hero arc with her. Like, she didn't really go through anything. Like, Spider-Man, for example. Spider-Man got his powers because a radioactive spider bit him. And it was an accident. It was a freak accident. So he got his powers. Okay, then he became Spider-Man. Now, with great powers comes great responsibility. Now, when he got his powers, because he did not, you know, step up, his uncle ended up dying. And he had to deal with that. Then not only having to deal with that for the rest of his life, he has to keep his personal life and a superhero life separate, because every time he introduces somebody to a superhero life, then something happens to them and he has to deal with that, especially dealing with that as a teenager, then growing up and then not having his parents there, but then only having his Aunt May and having to worry about his Aunt May. All that stuff gives you so much in his journey and what he's going through in his story. Not to mention Miles and other Spider-Man and stuff like that. I can talk about Spider-Man because he's my favorite superhero for days upon days upon days. About things that he has experienced and things that he has gone through. Now, let's just jump and just stick with the MCU. Now, in the MCU, I saw Tony Stark's his arc and what he went through. The mistakes that he made. How he was trying to redeem himself from his mistakes, and then how he ended up doing what he did, his sacrifice at the end of Endgame. That was a journey. I saw that. And I seen it all play out on screen. And I was like, alright, well, I understand what's going on with him. Captain America and every other character leading up to that, like to Endgame, like I understood their motivation, their journeys and stuff like that, and what they were going through. Okay? But it seems as though after Endgame is like character development, journeys and stuff that they're going through, it's not there anymore. Like, it's not, the writers aren't putting anything into it. The words that I keep hearing nowadays are like diverse or different is what I keep hearing, but you can have diversity, but still tell a good story. You can have diversity and have things different and still tell a complex story. You can do that. Now, with what I was saying about Captain Marvel, I'm sorry. Yes, I said that right. Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel is the worst character written in the entire MCU. There's no character, I think, that's written worse than she was. Now, I know a lot of people might say, well, what about the characters from the Eternals? Well, they ain't have enough time. So I don't, okay, Captain Marvel had her own movie, and now she has a second movie, and I still don't care about her character, and I still didn't learn anything from watching her journey. I didn't. When they introduce her character, the first time that we see her character, they're basically telling her that she needs to learn how to control powers. Or you know, control her emotions, basically. And they have, like, these things on her to keep her, you know, her powers from being, you know, keep her powers at bay. She comes to Earth, and then she discovered that she's really from Earth. And then she's like, okay. And she literally, I guess she breaks the chains that are on her. But she didn't, then she's more powerful than everybody anyway. So nobody really stood a chance against her in the first place anyway. She whooped everybody's butt. Like, what was the point of all that? You know, she took out actual spaceships and stuff. And it's like, okay, there was a struggle. What are you really going through? Like, this, you don't even need help. Like, you don't. But on top of that, going into this movie, not only do I feel like her character didn't really do anything and didn't really establish anything, don't really have art at all. She's just strong and powerful. That's it. I also feel like her character's stupid. Like, so if you watch this movie, you're going to get to a point where they're going back to what I was saying before about the Avengers. You're supposed to avenge something, right? But then you find out while you're watching this movie that everything that's happening in this movie is her fault. It's her fault. She didn't come back. Like, so she knew Monica Rambeau. Okay, again, spoiler alert. She knew Monica Rambeau when Monica Rambeau from the first Captain Marvel movie, when Monica Rambeau was a child. Monica Rambeau grew up, ended up walking through the hex and getting power and stuff. That's how she's involved in the story. She was snapped away and came back, and her mom had died when she got snapped away, you know, for that Infinity War gap. Okay, so we established that with her character. Then in the movie they explain that Captain Marvel didn't come back for Monica because Captain Marvel went to the Kree planet, destroyed something on the Kree planet, which led to them having a famine, which led to their son dying out, and which led to, like, air pollution. So basically, she did something so stupid that it started to wipe out an entire race of people. And then the villain is from that planet and is trying to get her resources back. But I'm supposed to feel bad for Captain Marvel because she's struggling with what she did wrong when she's supposed to be the hero, but she caused this to happen, but then she didn't go home because she felt bad. I'm supposed to feel bad because she felt bad. No, you're an Avenger and you caused this problem. Then you should go fix it, damn it. What's going on? So now all these people are dying and getting hurt and stuff because of your flaw, your mistake. So you have to avenge the galaxy from you. You caused this. But even after she causes it, right? She can explain how she caused it, right? But you don't see her making any effort in the movie. Unless they cut it out. You don't see her making any effort in the movie to fix the problems that she caused in the first place. So I'm confused as to how I'm supposed to feel for her character arc. I don't get it. She caused this problem. It's your fault. So now you're avenging us from you. Okay? All right. Then, while in the movie, again, going back to it, why I think that she's a horribly written character. In the movie, when she realizes that every time she uses her power, that she's going to swap with one of the other ones. Let's say she's fighting somebody that's deadly. And then she swipes with one of the other ones that's not trained how she's trained. And she's like, come on, guys, come along for the ride. And a child, mind you, because Miss Marvel is a teenager. And Monica Rambeau is basically a scientist. She's not a fighter. She doesn't even know how to use her powers or what her powers should be used for. So the fighting skills and stuff that they have in the movie seems odd to me. Like, when did this happen? When did you learn how to fight like this? Like, what? I don't get it. And then, more importantly, they have powers, right? Like, Captain Marvel, okay, has been gone all this time since the end of Endgame. and then before Endgame, she was gone from the 90s into the 2000s. So she was gone for a while. Okay, so was it the 90s or 80s? Usually 80s or 90s, I can't remember. But she was gone for years, long enough for Monica Rambeau to grow up. But she was gone all that time. Okay, so let's say Monica Rambeau was probably 9. So from 9 to Monica's like in her 20s, she was gone for all that time. Okay, so Captain Marvel was gone for all that time. Captain Marvel destroys this thing on this planet, right? That leads down the road of water, of them having a drought, of the sun dying out, of the air being polluted. She goes down that road. When she goes down that road, you mean to tell me that she couldn't figure out other ways of getting water to that planet? She couldn't figure out ways how to go back to that planet and tell them that she's sorry for what she did? She couldn't figure out ways how to do any of this other stuff. Instead, every time she sees one of them from the Kree planet, she fights him. She beats him up. Okay, so now I guess they were trying to say that she's very impulsive. But it's like, at some point, you gotta say, all right, I messed up. I'm gonna take accountability. And I'm gonna go fix this problem. And it irked me watching the movie because it's like, yo, who am I supposed to be rooting for? This terribly written villain or this terribly written superhero? I don't know. Now, before I go into more things that I didn't really like about the movie, because I don't want to just tear this movie down, but I felt like I got to. Man, this sucks. There's a lot of people online and stuff like that has been coming out against a lot of things that's been going on with Marvel, calling it the MCU, meaning that they're just all girl power. Now, I'm not getting any credence to what they're saying. You know, they want to say that they can say that all they want to. However, the director of this movie so happened to be a female. And the director of the movie, the Eternals happened to be a woman too. Now, I don't want to blame it on the directors only. And I don't want to just blame it on the writers either. I think it was a team effort. It was the idea, because it was the head, the top, the brass, that came up, was like, all right, cool, we're going to do this. Let's go ahead and do it. And then after the writers ripped their stuff and then gave it to them, they were like, yes, I like it. Let's do this. Let's find a director. Then the director comes in like, yes, I like it too. Let's do it. They had all these steps to, like, you know, navigate through and go, you know, let's not do this. Let's fix this. Let's change this. Let's tweak this a little bit. Let's put this thing over here on this top shelf. You know, they had all that time to do it. Okay. So I'm not going to blame the actors at all. That's no. Their job is to act in a movie. Okay. I'm not going to blame the artist that did the CG and stuff for the movie. No. They were rushed. I can clearly tell that they were rushed because they were just throwing this out. Just throwing this stuff out to, like, ew, take it. Take it, masses. Run with it. Okay? So, there's people online writing saying that it's the MCU and stuff like that. Okay? So, with that being said, and all this criticism that they're getting, you would think that they would stop and go, okay, we're getting a lot of criticism. Is this criticism warranted? Is it just? Should we look? Let's look into it some more. Oh, no. Instead, you have the director of this movie, The Marvels, that are like, oh, well, it's the toxic fan base that's the problem. It's like, no. It's your directing that's the problem. So much so that this movie had several, more than one or two reshoots, which cost money, okay? More importantly than that, she didn't even finish it. She didn't even complete the project. But she's talking crap about other people voicing their opinion. But I don't think she's listening to what they're saying. She just automatically saying, well, they're toxic males. Or then they say this thing, and this annoys me so much, where they'll say it's masculinity or it's the white patriarchy. No, it's not. You just can't write. That's it. You don't care about the project. You were in it for the money. You took the money and you left. You ran with it. That's what you did. You don't give a rat's ass about the actual product. And you know who you hurt by doing that? You hurt the actors. You hurt the people that show up for work to put in the time to put that movie out. The editors, all you hurt all of them. That's who you hurt. That's who you make look bad. When the writers and the top brass and the director of the movie, you're supposed to be directing traffic, making sure there's no car crashes. But instead, you're just like, move it along. Move it along. But by you moving it along, all you're doing is hurting the product. This is honestly, looking at the numbers, is the worst opening in the history of the MCU. The MCU, let that sink in. The MCU, when Iron Man came out, and then you had Thor, and then you had the Incredible Hulk, you had all these movies stacked upon each other. You had the original Avengers movie, the first one. You had Age of Ultron. Wasn't that good, but I digress. You had Black Panther. These movies were making money on top of money. Not only that, they were telling stories that people were going back and then dissecting. What exactly do they mean by the story? Oh, why would Black Panther go down this road? Ooh, what would this mean? This implication means something. Oh, then they actually made a movie called The Infinity War. An Infinity War. It told a complex story about the villain. The movie ended where the villain won, and they faded to black. That was good writing. I remember sitting in the audience, sitting there in the theater, and it was dead silence. They didn't even play a song at the end of that movie. It just faded to black, and it was quiet. And for a few moments, you heard nothing. The roaches and ants that were in that place, I'm sorry, I don't know if I have ants and roaches. I'm just saying, the bugs, the flies, they stopped and just watched the screen. That's compelling. Where you can get a whole audience to just sit there and think to themselves, what just happened? That's good writing. And then Endgame. Okay. I remember crying. Spoiler alert. I remember crying. I remember crying when Tony Stark was dying. Hell, even before that one, I remember crying when Spider-Man was leaving and he was telling Tony Stark, he's like, I'm sorry, I messed up, I failed you. I failed you, Mr. Stark. I remember crying when he dissolved and disappeared in the hands of Tony Stark. And when Tony Stark, what he went through, having that in his heart and on his mind, that's a hero's arc, because they tried to stop something from happening, prevent it from happening, and they failed, and now they have to live with that. They have to live with that failure, that pain. That's how you write. Then when you get to the point where it's the reverse now Iron Man, Tony Stark is dying, and Spider-Man is there holding him. They flipped it. And Peter is sitting there with Tony. He's like, what? It's okay. He doesn't know what to do. And then he had to be comforted by other heroes, by other people who were fighting in that war. When Captain America went back through time to take back all the stones and put them back in the right place. That's what a hero does. They took that stuff out of time and then went back to put it back where it belongs. Captain America chose not to come back, and he lived a life. And he sat there. It's an old man. And he lived out his arc. He lived. That's writing. That is good writing. Now you have the Marvels. And that's why people are so upset. There's a lot of people that have valid points. Where they're like, they're just throwing stuff out here. They're just throwing stuff out here. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care. And now they're showing you. They're showing you with their pocketbooks. They're showing you. I'm not going to go to the theater to see this. I'm not going to see this. They showed you that. They said, we saw what you did with Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. We saw what you did with that. We didn't like it. So, you know what? We're done now. We heard what you were doing with Blade. That's okay. We're done. We see what you're doing with the Secret Invasion. Which brings me to another point about this movie. I don't know if anybody else noticed it, but I was sitting in the theater thinking to myself watching this movie. How come Nick Fury's character seems different in Captain Marvel and in the Marvels? He's not the same person. The way he acted, the way things he did inside Secret Invasion seemed more like the character going through things and being older now and trying to get back out there. Okay, I understand how they wrote his character. Now let's rewind back, okay? His character in assembling the Avengers and stuff, he seemed more like a father figure to a lot of those characters. Where it was like, oh man, you know, Nick Fury's gonna say something to us. And he's like, you're damn right, I'm gonna say something to Nick Fury. Get your stuff together. Come on, team. Let's go. He's like a coach. Hey, let's go, team. Let's go. Now, in Captain Marvel, he seemed kind of playful and childish, I guess. And then in this one, I don't even know how to explain who he even was or who he was trying to be. In this movie, they didn't seem like Nick Fury to me. It was like a comedy. Yes, laugh it all up. It was that Marvel comedy. At one point in the movie, I am not lying to you. He yelled out "Black Girl Magic" as a way of trying to motivate someone. Which leads me to the problem. I love going to the theater. I'm always in the theater. That's my thing. I love writing in general. Okay? I love good writing. There's movies that I've seen that are weird. And that people would look at me and go, why'd you like that movie? I'm like, because it was interesting. The writing brought you in. It told a story that I've never seen before. It was something new, fresh, and art itself should be like that. However, this isn't art. What's happening right now? This is them trying to make money. Now, I understand that that's their jobs and stuff, but at the same time, it's still art. You're ruining art. Like I said, I go to the theater all the time. I'm always in the theater. At some points, I've seen every movie in the theater. But there's not people going to the theaters like that anymore. There used to be... I would have to keep checking my phone over and over again. Because I was always the one in my group that was always buying the tickets and getting the tickets for the group. And I would always have to constantly... Oh, man, I think I messed up, man. We all can't get a seat together. Or I got to buy the tickets early. You know, I had to keep looking on it. Now, I can't even make this up. Like 2 weeks before the movie even came out, everybody was like, all right, cool, we're all in it. We're all going to see it. Okay, everybody's going to go see the Marvels. We had everything planned out. I looked at it. Not one person bought a ticket. I said, that's a little odd for a Marvel movie, but all right. Fast forward, I'll get it again. Okay, I'm looking at the 950 show. Nobody bought it. Nobody bought a ticket. Okay, cool. Then the day before the movies, one person bought a ticket. That was it. One person bought a ticket in advance. And there are people all on the internet saying that no one is going to see this movie. This movie is not tracking well. And they were 100% right. We need people in the theaters to watch these movies, to see this art. I understand there was a writer's strike. There was an actor strike as well, too. But if nobody's going to see these movies, what are you going to do? It's getting to the point now that they're forcing everything on to these streaming devices. And a lot of these movies that they're throwing on there, they're not quality either. Something has to be done. There has to be an equal medium in there. I understand the economy is messed up. And a lot of people now are probably only going to go to like $5 Tuesdays. But at least that's something. Although, in order for them to go, you have to spark their interest. There's people not even willing to spend $5 for a Marvel movie right now. $5. I can find $5 just jingling around in the car. I can take back soda pop cans and get that $5. But no one cares to pay for it right now. They don't. I am even a part of the problem. I'm a hypocrite. I know I'm a hypocrite. But I'm part of the problem. I'm going to tell you why I'm part of the problem. Somebody asked me and said, hey, did you see the Marvels? I said, yeah, I saw the Marvels. There's people that wait for me to see certain movies. Then they'll ask me about it. Did you like it? Because, Kirsten, you always at the theater. Every time I see you, you at the theater. By yourself. Post it up. At the theater. You. That's your thing. Did you see the movie? And I'm like, yeah, I saw it. And they're like, all right. Did you like it? And I had to tell them, it was a movie. It was a movie. And they was like, should I wait for it to come on Disney Plus? Yeah, you should wait for it to come on Disney Plus. You should wait. Because you're already paying for Disney Plus. It's $11 a month for you to have that Disney Plus. Now that you packaged it with Hulu or like one of those sport channel things. But you're paying like $140 a year. Yeah, you probably should just wait. Yeah, you should just wait. But I want people in the theater, though. I want people in the theater. I want people in the theater like people were in the theater to see Tom Cruise. Mission Impossible. A great movie. It didn't make as much money, but I want people in that theater. The people that went to see with me, it was almost a packed house when we went to go and see that movie. I remember going to see Barbie. I saw Barbie 3 times in the theater. And every time I saw it, it was a packed house. Oppenheimer. People were packed in that movie. That movie was 3 hours long. 3 hours long. But on one hand, it could just mean that people aren't going to go and see these Marvel movies. But I want them to see Marvel movies. I am a comic book freak. On the other hand, it could be that people want to go see more challenging movies. Like Barbie or, I'm sorry, Oppenheimer or Killers of the Flower Moon. They might be wanting that. I don't want the same thing to repeat like you repeated before, like when it came to DVDs. I remember going to like video stores. Video stores don't exist anymore. Now you got Redbox, you got all these streaming devices. But I remember going to video stores. Hey, you got Jurassic Park in? No? All right, I'll wait. You got Jurassic Park in now? Yep, just came in. Thank you. Leaving, going home, be kind, rewind. I remember those days. I remember buying and having my collection. I still have a huge collection of DVDs that I go out and buy for the special features. I love movies. I love the art of the movies. I love the art of the writing. I love going there and having my routine. Going and sitting in the theater. Always sitting at the edge of the theater too. And I sit, I'll go all the way to the back row and then move like 2 rows up. So it's like, I'm like 2 rows before the back. And I'll sit right in the corner seat. and I'll watch people come in, and I'll watch people's reactions and stuff. I like talking to people after certain movies to see how they felt about it, because of how people react to things, and movies could connect us. And being in that atmosphere in the movie theater is great, especially for somebody like me. I love doing things alone, but at the same time, I love hearing feedback from people. I love talking to people. I love that communication. And when some people come out of certain movies, especially like when I walked out of seeing the movie Barbie. I mentioned it before. But seeing the movie Barbie, and some people came out and they're like, how do you feel about it? I was like, how do you guys feel about it? We talked about it and we laughed about it. I remember leaving the movie for the movie called Men. And people were like, what was that? I'm like, I know, right? And I talked to somebody for 20 minutes about this movie. It's like, what do you think this movie's about? I was like, wait, well, I don't know what you think this movie's about. I remember leaving the movie Endgame with my boys, my family. And we walked out. I remember there was a lady that was crying. And I remember it was two little kids that were upset because Tony Stark was dead. Now I remember people, and I remember this, saying love you 3000 as they left out that theater. The movie gave them something. The writing gave them something. Marvel gave them something. And I'm hoping that Marvel can fix this. Marvel is not dead. I hope that Marvel can fix this stuff going forward. Because we want to see these superhero movies. But we also want that writing. At the same time, I want people to keep their butts in the seats in those theaters. All in all, if you ask me if I give this movie a pass or a fail, I'm going to fail it. It's a high fail. I wish this movie did better, but it didn't. But Marvel's not dead. Marvel's not dead. Marvel's not dead. If you can pick up what I'm putting down, Around the Town, Charlie Brown. Ta-ta.